Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 3, we've studied this and talked about it a million times, but let's see if we can make more sense out of it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing or high place that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, that's probably the most ignored scripture in the Bible, unless people talk about it, that the warfare is external. I mean, crusades, wars have been started over that scripture. But it doesn't have anything to do with anything external. Casting down imaginations in the high places that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God is directly aimed at you and I. Now, every one of the thoughts, every single one of the imaginations that you are to cast down is a mortal enemy of humility. There are no good thoughts. There are no good imaginations. Because it violates the finished work of Christ. Every single thought that you have. And so as long as you continue to nurse and pet and pamper those idiotic little brain cells and neuron paths, you will never know the mystery of God. Now, does anybody have any response? You will continue to be an observer because, by definition, your thoughts are always an observer. You can never be, you must just look. And judge and contemplate and all the other boring crap that takes up 99% of the time of the human race. Anybody want to comment? Or?
Yes, like the gospel is either black and white.
It's either finished or it's not.
Finished or it's not. It's total or it's nothing. It's, you know, I mean, I don't like to hear what you just said much, but because occasionally I enjoy my little thoughts.
Occasionally?
Here and there. But, you know, to be honest, it's either, like I say, it is or it isn't.
If you could imagine that every time that you began to think a thought that is in violation of it is finished, and what you are doing is you are pounding the crown of thorns into the head of Christ. If you can see that, you're crucifying the Son of God afresh. It's not an innocent thing. There are no excuses. There are no situations in which it is right, unless you're a little kid and you've got to go around and push all the barriers and come to the end and find the end of all things and find out that all of your hopes and dreams and ambitions are just crap. But hope is so precious. Hope is what sustains us. Hope is what gives us hope. That's maudlin bullshit based on the value system of the world. As I've said so often, if you have hope in anything other than the resurrection of Christ, you're a fool. Because everything else disappoints. And it never ends. Now, every single time a stimulant of any kind hits you, a process comes into play. And the process is called mind talk. And every aspect of mind talk is an enemy of the mind of Christ. Therefore, it is an enemy of humility. Therefore, it is an enemy of the cross. Therefore, it is a proof that your God is your appetites. Remember, Paul said, many walk of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you again, even weeping, that there are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is their shame, for they mind or give breath to earthly things. I don't know how to say this stuff any clearer. You know, when I'm up, I listen to the conversations. It proves to me that you're not paying any attention to what I'm saying.
What amazes me right now is that I'm listening to what you're saying, I'm agreeing with what you're saying, and my mind is still doing the opposite of what I'm agreeing with. As we sit here and say it, it's like there's no limit to the evil.
Let me ask you, I mean, honestly, does anybody believe me? I know Gary does. Does anybody else believe what I just said about your thoughts are the enemy of the cross of Christ?
I know it.
You believe that?
Yeah.
You sure? That was called too long to answer. You had to think about it.
I guess along with that, I think, you know, there's also how do you stop? How do you stop?
We just read it.
Your
we just read it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you have a thought that doesn't stand against, it is finished. And obviously, there is no thought that stands against, it is finished. Now, that's why your warfare is never against anything external to you. It's never against anything about your body. Your warfare is about what you think is good. Because what you think is good is a theology of glory, the opposite of the theology of the cross. This makes it so there is no gray at all. It's either brilliant light or complete darkness. Where do you want to live? Well, I'm just thinking about God stuff. No, you're not. You're thinking about how God stuff applies to you. What it means to you. It doesn't mean anything to you. You are an enemy of the cross of Christ. You are the instead of Christ. You are the Antichrist. That's why Paul said he is not a debtor to any aspect of his mind or his emotions. I need to think about that.
Give me a minute.
It's God's good pleasure to give you all things freely, but He cannot occupy where you are because of His humility. He will not violate your efforts. He cannot, as long as you're trying, He cannot work. Not because He can't, but because by His nature, His humility, which is what makes Him great, He will not violate that.
This goes right back to the garden, the good and evil place, because what you are doing in your mental process is judging, this is a good thought, and this one's okay. I'm sure it probably meets the it's finished.
Yeah, but you got to understand, your mind cannot do anything other than move you towards what you perceive as pleasure and move you away from what you perceive as need or pain. That's all the mind can do. Now, pleasure may be self-fulfillment in some way. You may want to understand the scriptures. That even that is sin. You may want to hide the word of God in your heart. That is sin because it's already he is already hidden there. You just may want to understand it better so you can explain it to your friends. No, you don't. You just want to wear a bunch of jewels on you so you can attract people. So you can build your esteem in other people's eyes. Really, what self-talk is, it's a euphemism for the belief system that controls you. And it's the opposite of faith in God. Can you hear that? Each of you have a belief system that control you, that define what you like and what you don't like, what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And that entire belief system, it defines your personality, it defines how you respond to stimuli, but the entire belief system is based on lies. Because it's based on tales from your parents, fanciful fairy tales, Poor Richard's Almanac, and a myriad of other things that have absolutely nothing to do with faith in God, and every single one of them are the opposite of humility. And every one of those likes puts you above someone else. And every one of the dislikes put you above someone else. That's their subtlety. Because then you can judge someone for liking what you don't like. And thinking what fools they are. Right? So it's the opposite of community. It's the opposite of love. It's the opposite of the mind of Christ. It's the opposite of humility. Wade, what do you think about all this?
When someone dies, that belief system is just gone. That engine of pleasure and pain is gone.
Yeah. Crystal doesn't have any more. She's essentially brain dead. She doesn't have any more thoughts. She can only respond to stimuli. So all of her warfare is totally over. People were running around here so sad and everybody was moping around. Oh, I was rejoicing.
God. I'm so glad.
And people, all people that are not in the community, everybody's over there, you know, people that have left, they're just having a feeding frenzy on Crystal. It infuriates me. They're eating her poor flesh to give their meaningless lives meaning. God help them. They're starving to death because they have rejected the good word of the Lord to eat and are eating everything else. Many of them are eating my flesh, and it's starting to piss me off. I'm going up to Jerusalem. I don't know about the rest of you. You're welcome to come. And I have forgotten those things that are past. And I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're welcome to come along. If you don't, it's not my business. I'm not going to try to talk you into it. I'm not going to con you into it. I'm going to tell you, as I've told you from the very beginning, that to enter the mystery of God cost you your life, everything about your life. That's why only the people that are at the absolute end of themselves have ever entered the kingdom of God. The others think they have, but they've entered Babylon. And they shall say on that day, Lord, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things for you in your name. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity, are you workers of self-seeking? Now back to mind talk. The average speech is 130 words a minute, about. The average mind talk is about 1,300 words a minute. Now, interesting, some of you that have been here a long time remember this, but they have put sensors on your larynx. And when you're silent, the sensors are moving because they're forming the words that you're thinking. 1,300 words a minute. So from God's perspective, that's why he said, if you thought it, it's done. You've done it. That, don't you understand? If you don't speak what you have thought, then you will respond to the individuals the way that you thought about. So if you have judgments against them, but you're proud of yourself because you don't say anything, you will respond to them as if. If you're married and you have thoughts of fornication and adultery, you'll respond to your wife as if you had already committed them. You understand? Can you feel and begin to know the power of your mind talk? Do you understand that all of your mind talk has you as its subject? Not mine, because I'm thinking about spiritual. What you're thinking about is how that, what that means to you. When Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things, he meant all things. Including all likes, all dislikes, all wants, all everything. And he counts them but done. It's no merit. Everybody can lose all things. All material things. You can do that by just being stupid. But to count them but dung is an act of grace. But God's grace can only work when you see the truth. So if you still want the things that you lost, If you still long for the better days, anyway, even if the better days is a woman in the past, then you haven't suffered the loss of all things, because you have built up a lie about what you have seen in your mind, in your past. And therefore, that template of your remembrance is a lie. So all the thoughts about that situation are a lie. I remember when Mr. Buckner had this kind of a longing for love lost, unrequited love, and I made unmerciful fun of him. He got so mad at me, he wanted to kill me. And I just did the same to another airy guy in the room. But it's so nice to have those wonderful thoughts. You're fools if you do. Because you haven't suffered the loss of all things. You haven't counted it as dung. You have despised the grace of God which brought you here. You have ignored that He hath wrought all your works in you. And so you have chosen the kingdom of darkness over the kingdom of light. Oh no, I'm not. I haven't really done that. I'm just thinking about certain aspects that you've lost. You haven't suffered the loss of all things. That's why I make fun of certain of you who keep pictures of your old loves to long after things. Of course, I won't mention any names. Argue with me if you don't agree with me. What? Nobody likes me.
Well, but it's basically this totality thing. You know, it's all or nothing. Everybody wants to incorporate their own personal temple of God over the doctrine, make it all kind of work together.
And Bojo likes me. Sometimes. Sometimes.
The jury's out on that.
That's not what he said.
He said he likes you to accept.
Wade likes me. Sometimes. Don't you see? What we're talking about this morning is the very kernel of Christianity. Without it, everything else is a lie. This is why people stop living in community. It doesn't surprise me that people have left. It surprises me that anyone has stayed. Because the same thing happened to the church at large in history. Because living in community became too dangerous. Because you had to face your sin. And you were exhorted daily. I firmly believe that if the church would have continued living in community, that the end would have come 1,000, 1,500 years ago. Because the bride would have been edified, and the spots and wrinkles would have been removed from the bride, and the garment would not be touching the flesh. But because the church at large spread to the kind of system that we now have, then God's long suffering, otherwise we wouldn't have been a part of it. So we can even thank their heresy because it permitted us to be in it. That's why everything is beautiful in its time. I hurt too bad to continue. Is that all right? Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I was thinking about when you you said, all the talk, all the thoughts, all the judgments have to do with what's good, and they all have to do with you. And in the past, I've sort of been, I don't know, I haven't really grasped the idea that the Antichrist is not Satan himself. The Antichrist is this...
It's you.
You know, and then there's Satan. But when you said it's all about you, my reaction to that in here was, yeah. And what I don't think about is that there's a power behind me.
Yeah, it's just you. Somebody's masquerading as you.
Somebody is using that little puppet.
That's right.
And it ain't the king of the universe.
No, I mean, that's why I've said all and over and over and over again, there's been someone, you have never existed. There's no such thing as a Harry in history, or a Bojo, or a Pete, or a Carolyn. That's this being masquerading as you.
It really is all about good, the good. No matter what the thought is, even if it's about how bad something is, it's because that's in relation to the established.
Right.
Good. And I remember...
It's that template.
I remember like being 10 years old and looking around and going, oh, that's the kind of shirt I should wear. Not the kind of... I should wear that kind of shirt.
This is where the... this is the short hairs. Are the short hairs. Is the short hair. This is the short hair. Because everything else in your life is meaningless. It's just a masquerading as an angel of light. Oh, but Holy, you don't give us assurance. Yeah, you're right, I don't give you assurance. The assurance is sure, it's permanent, it's from the foundation of the world, but it didn't have anything to do with you. He alone has immortality. I just found out yesterday that Wendy is still furious at me all the times I made fun of her for saying, once saved, always saved. If she were here, I'd make fun of her again. It's funny how when people leave, they remember everything I said that they didn't like. I'm too old and too decrepit to change. I'm too old and too decrepit even to judge myself. But I despise you if you disagree with me and don't have the courage to say something. Because eventually you'll just do like the rest. You'll sneak away in the night. But this, don't you see, it's His good pleasure to give you all things freely when you're out of the way. All righty. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.